for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 605 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week I talk with Barney Smith from Dadder Jokes. Barney is a proud dad, podcaster, artist, and storyteller. His team previously worked on the popular book Dad Jokes, which was released in 2022 to an overwhelming response. Now they're back with a brand new installment, Dadder Jokes, and they can't wait to make you laugh. This project is doing well on Kickstarter, but they'd be happy to receive your support before it concludes this Friday, September 15 at 9:18 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. I'm sure you're going to enjoy what Barney has to say. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show.
Get in on this belly-aching action. Join us on Kickstarter, and let's catapult Dadder Jokes into the world with a wave of laughter. Unleash the chuckles. Back Dadder Jokes today. Laughter's the name of the game, folks.
My wife's mad at me because she said I never buy her flowers. I honestly didn't even know she sold flowers. That's one of the jokes, and you can hear him snickering in the background. He likes that. Just a Barney Smith. He has a book called Dad Jokes, and now he's got another book on Kickstarter called Dadder Jokes, which fits right in there. How you doing, Barney?
I'm doing well, Wayne. Thanks for having me come on. I'm really excited.
It's good to talk with you. There's a little more description of you that I thought that on your. And by the way, all Barney's stuff is at storycomic.com. If people want to get a chance to check in, he's got multiple podcasts, which we'll get into a little bit later. But we want to specifically be sure to talk about the Kickstarter, which goes from August 15th for about 30 days. And you want to be sure to get in there. And this is your first one, right, Barney?
It's my first one. I've been an avid Kickstart backer for many years, and so I finally decided to take the plunge and actually try my hand at doing my own Kickstarter.
Very good, very good. Because crowdfunding, I always feel badly for the fact that it hasn't been around as long as I wish it had. Because there's a lot of books and stories that people wanted to tell, but they couldn't do it because DC or Marvel wouldn't pick them up. And so now you can crowdfund and you can make it happen. And I was telling you before we started recording, there's multiple places now that you can crowdfund, not just Kickstarter. But Kickstarter is the grand kahuna of the whole business. So it's the place to go. But,
right. You know, and a good point too, Wayne, is that usually if somebody ever asks you, oh, what is this? And then you say, well, it's like this. If you have to compare it to something already existing, you might as well just go to that one thing that's already existing. You know, as an example, if someone says, you know, like Indiegogo, it's like, what's Indiegogo? Well, it's like Kickstarter. Okay. So if you're comparing it to something that is already more well-known, you might as well give it a go at the one more well-known platform than doing right. Something else first.
Right. There's Zoop.gg. There's also Backer Kid, I think, is going right now. There's a whole bunch of crowdfunding things out there, which is
Patreon for a while tried to do their own backer system, but it didn't really take off.
No, sadly not. Anyway, if anybody wants to know more about who you are, let me read from your story.com website. It says, I am a writer and illustrator for autobiographical satirical graphic novels that focus on my adventures in international relief work and the joys of being in an intercultural marriage. Primarily, I am a Vermonter, which I think is the term for somebody from Vermont. Cartoonist, a dad of three awesome kids, and husband of a Nigerian runway model. How did that come to be? I got to ask about that. How did you end up the husband of a Nigerian runway model?
Wayne, it's the same generic story everybody's heard 100 times before. You know, Vermont cartoonist, you know, marriage Nigerian runway model. I mean, everybody's heard the story. But I met her actually when I was working overseas for like Peace Corps and Doctors Without Borders. I was in places like Libya during the revolution repairing ambulances. I was in Uganda in an HIV clinic. I was in Zimbabwe during the cholera outbreak. I was in Pakistan during the earthquake. I worked in the Philippines for a year after that Typhoon Durian came through. I spent roughly about over a decade of living out of a suitcase, just traveling the world and, basically just going on adventures. And as they always say, like the biggest adventure of all is, being a dad. But it really started off when I was working in Nigeria, in Lagos, in an urban maternity healthcare clinic. And I met my wife there. And we always like to joke about this 90-day fiance thing. And my wife and I, we've been married now for over 10 years. And we beat that. We dated for a month before we got married. And that was probably the smartest thing I did, because if we dated any longer than that, she would have figured out how much of a goofball I was, and there was no way she would have married me. But I made sure that I, just really expanded out that whole first impression thing and just, wined and dined her until I was broke, and then convinced her to marry me. And here we are, fast forward 10 years later, and we got three beautiful kids. We got an 8-year-old and 6-year-old daughters, and then a 2-year-old son. But that really, Wayne, is kind of like that in a nutshell of kind of like summing up my first, I just basically gave you like my last 20 years in like a paragraph.
Wow. That's good. Well, conciseness is a good thing. So that's a good thing to happen. Now, before we dive into the book, we should talk about your story comics shows, because there's a couple of them. And I think because there's one you do for Vermont artists and authors. How many of those so far?
It's about 50 so far. I got 50 in the can right now. And I also have another podcast is called Nerd Stock Talk. And really it's about during COVID, I really went deep into just exploring my MBA background and just doing a lot of work with just educating myself and learning a lot about how the stock market works, because it's amazing to see how what you can do with just a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of help. And so what I was able to do was just really kind of make the stock market and investing making it accessible for people the people like me who are basically nerds that play World of Warcraft and play Dungeons and Dragons and read and watch, Marvel movies and read comic books, like knowing that there's a way to educate people on how investing works in a language that other nerds can understand and appreciate. And that's been really fun doing that show. And my other show that I do is I also have, my masthead show, which is called Story Comic Presents, where I interview amazing storytellers and artists. And that's been, and that all kind of started off when I was getting back into doing indie comics, is I ended up asking a lot of advice to some friends and colleagues that were in the business, and then just realizing that it'd be really important to actually record these conversations that I was having. And then it just kind of ballooned into, I'm not where you are yet, Wayne, man. You just hit episode almost 600. So I am, as of this recording, I think you said you're over 600. Right. And I gotta say, I'm only at almost 300. So I am like only half the way where you are. So I am really impressed with the yeoman's work that you're doing with sharing knowledge and doing your part in making all of
us indie comic folks, and then independent publishers getting their voices out here. So, yeah. So kudos to you, Wayne. You're doing awesome.
I appreciate that, because the funny thing about it was I didn't realize how long I've been doing this, because, you know, when you do podcasts and stuff, you always live in the future. I'm always thinking, who am I going to talk to this week? And so I've always been doing, getting this week done and this week done. And all of a sudden I realized, I said, wait a second, I started back in 2011 and it's now 2023. I said, it's been 12 years I've been doing this thing. So it's amazing to me. The first episode I ever did, it's blue chunks, as they like to say. It was me, me trying to talk and talking about comics, thinking that I could do it myself. That was the only time it was just me talking. The rest of the time, it's me interviewing people, because I think I do better asking people questions than I do buzzing about myself and stuff. I got to ask, though, where did Story Comic come from? Is it the books that you particularly like, or how'd that happen?
Well, originally my website was called Kookaburra Master. And not only is that a horrible thing to call a website, it's not like it's like a bad name, but it's just like, how is someone going to spell that? Mm-hmm. And that was based off of the origin of that is, so I'm going to date myself, Wayne, here. I remember back in 1995, I was a sophomore in college, and one of my friends that was in the same dorms, he was the one guy that actually had a computer in his dorm where everybody else had, you went to the computer room. And so he had a computer in his dorm. And in order to have a computer with internet, you actually had to have, so I'm just, so everybody knows this, is that if you actually had a computer with the internet, that means that you actually had to have your own internet account to connect to that, which means you also then had an email address. Mm-hmm. That's where all the AOLs came from, because what you would do is actually have an account with AOL. Mm-hmm. And he came to me one day. He ran down the hallway and he said, Barney. I'm like, yeah, what is it, Mark? He's like, you can actually have your own email address without having an internet account. I'm like, that's a lie. That is impossible. There's no way you could ever do that. He's like, no, it's true. There's this website that just launched hours ago, and you can have your own email address and you just go on the internet and just type in your email address. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. That sounds like witchcraft. He's like, no, it's called hotmail.com. I'm like, all right, let me see Hotmail. So he's like, here. I'm like, but Mark, this is your computer. This isn't my internet. No, no, no. It's okay. You can use my internet to go on the browser. It's a browser-based email. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. He's like, no, here. He typed in hotmail.com. He's like, now you can just make your own email address. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. I'm like, all right, let me try this out. So I was thinking, all right, Barney at Hotmail, name taken. I'm like, really? Barney's already taken? I'm like, fine. All right. Then I'll type in, all right, Barney Smith at Hotmail, name taken. I'm like, Mark, what's going on? You just said this is brand new. He's like, yeah, it's been out for like 8 hours. I'm like, all right, fine. All right. So I can't do Barney. I can't do Barney Smith. You know what? And I said, he had a dictionary. I'm like, give me the dictionary. He's like, what's this? I'm like, and I just flipped open randomly, closed my eyes, flipped open the dictionary, and just pointed to a random word. And the word I picked was kookaburra. I'm like, there it is, an Australian kingfinch. Okay, it's a bird from Australia. All right, this is it. Here I am. All right, this is my email address, kookaburra@hotmail.com. And I said, name already taken. I'm like, really? All right, so kookaburra is taken. So, all right, out of spite, I made Kookaburra Master. And that name was available. So I'm like, there you go. So Kookaburra Master was my very first email address at hotmail.com. So I was always my email address. So back in 2012, when I actually launched, I decided to teach myself Dreamweaver to learn how to build websites. This was, you know, pre Squarespace or Wix or any of that stuff where you actually had to learn how to code to make your own website. Unless you wanted like a WordPress situation, but I wanted to teach myself. So what I did is said, all right, what is my internet handle like online? And that is Kookaburra Master. So all right, so I'll just make a website called kookaburramaster.com. So I did that. So I would put in on all my comic books, all that kind of stuff. I was adding all my comic books. I was in, and adding, and I had a blog and all this kind of stuff. I was adding it on there. And I would tell people, I was like, hey, I got a website. Oh, what's your website? Oh, it's a place where I do, you know, put all my comic books. Okay, well, yeah, what's your website? It's kookaburramaster.com. And like, how do you spell that? I'm like, yeah, that is a little complicated. Yeah. So I decided to say, all right, what's my website? My website's really about graphic novels. It's about telling stories. It's about, you know, like, you know, making comics. So I decided to do, all right, let's call it, you know, graphicnovel.com. Obviously, that name was taken in 2012. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying all these different ones. So I was getting on the thesaurus and just looking at different versions of what graphic novel is, graphic novel. So that ultimately is where story comic came from. And I was shocked. I was shocked, Wayne, that storycomic.com was not taken yet. Mm-hmm. So I grabbed a hold of that one. And that was the first one that I was able to grab a hold of that actually kind of is a thesaurus way of graphic novel. And so, and also it kind of reflects also how I'm, you know, the two important things in life. It's comic books and telling stories. So that's where story comic, the initial, and so I want to point out to you, Wayne, that I was able to summarize 20 years. I was able to summarize for you in 20 years in about one paragraph about my origin story. Mm-hmm. But I want to point out that I actually took 5 times longer to tell you where I came up with the name storycomic.com.
Well, you know, you can't help but if you're a podcaster, you got to tell stories. It's got to, in fact, you reminded me of a story. You talked about AOL.com. And, you know, I used to use those little discs as like places to put my glasses on and stuff like that, like coasters.
Right.
Yeah. Because like, they come in the mail like once a week. And so right, I used them all the time. And believe it or not, I still use my AOL.com account. Believe it or not.
You're the second person I know that still has an AOL.com
account. I do. I just, it works and it's unlimited. Right. And why would I go anywhere else? It doesn't mean that's the only one I have. I have multiple email accounts, but that is kind of my very own personal one. But, right. Just in case anybody wonders, my Gmail account, this is the one I use for the podcast, it's just waynescomics@gmail.com.
Yeah.
So anyway, more than anybody ever wanted to know about that. But so this is what you've got. So you've been podcasting for about 2-3 years now.
Yeah, over 3 years. So technically, I'm going on my 4th year.
Okay. Right, do you now. Do them weekly, yeah, or how often do your episodes come out?
So I used to do it. So I used to do Tuesdays and Thursdays, but I switched it up to actually do them only on Thursdays, and I do 2 in a row on Thursdays every. And I used to just do them live, but then I decided to just do a pre-record instead because then it's a much easier to edit after the fact. Oh. And I use StreamYard when I do that. But the reason why, Wayne, is that another thing is this is a poorly kept secret because it's already been on the FCC news. I recently just bought a terrestrial radio station.
Oh, so, wow! Yeah,
so I'm so in order to get ready to make sure, like having to like, you know, rent a radio station. Technically, it's 3 radio stations. It's 3 because it's 3. There's an AM station and there's 2 FM stations. And in order to get ready for that, I needed to kind of hone in my time to just focus at least once a week of doing the interviews. So, so I usually do about 2 a week. And, and it's been interesting. It's been fun. It's been actually, it's easier to just kind of like stay in the groove instead of having to reset twice a week, being able to like pick a dedicated time to do that. So, yeah.
Because I do that too. I have a certain time during the week when I record. I also pre-record stuff. Unless, as I was telling you before, one of my interviews, I talked to this guy for an hour and a half, and he took these long pauses. I'd ask a question. I really wondered if he was still there. And then all of a sudden, he'd start to talk. And so I was afraid I'd lose everybody if all these long pauses were in it. So I went and edited all that down. By the time I took out all the long pauses, it was 45 minutes. And okay. And I've always pre-recorded. I've had too many times when I've interviewed somebody and they say something, and then I get an email later saying, "Would you please take that story out? I don't want that story to be public." And I go, "Okay," I find that people, if you can talk with them and you kind of get them, you know, they get comfortable with you. Sometimes they say stuff they may not necessarily want to say later on. So I can remember at least two times when that happened to me, when people actually contacted me and said, "Please take that out." And so I said, "Okay." So it's helpful. Okay. It's helpful to me to do that because I also think it's good because I still do audio, which a lot of people I keep telling me, "Why are you still doing audio? Everybody's doing video." I do a video thing. It's funny because you do so many shows. I do a couple of shows too. I do Wayne's Comics Podcast. I also write a column, and I also do a YouTube video review show, which I do every other week. And I've gotten up to a whole 17 subscribers, and not all of them watch every episode. It's always makes
me laugh. I'm going to subscribe to your channel now, Wayne.
Okay, if you can find me. I don't know if anybody can really find me on YouTube. It's my name, Wayne Hall, and you got to kind of look around. I review indie comics. It was actually a part of another show. Somebody asked me to do it, and I recorded the stuff originally, and then suddenly noticed
Wayne Hall 4075.
Yeah, I think that's me. The last one I did a review of Skipper number one, I think was the most recent one. This is a dog.
No, comic. That's not you. That's that's a church program.
It's not gonna be me. Anyway, it's out there, but you got to dig around. The reason I do that show is because I wanted to become more familiar with video stuff, and I've done audio for, like I said, for 12 years, and I've always been itching to get into video stuff, and so I do that. I actually bought software, and I've learned how to do those kinds of little editing things to it. So,
did you do the video review Scrapper number one?
Scrapper, that's it. Scrapper number one. Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, I am now your 18th. I'm your 18th.
Oh boy, thank you very much. A whole 18. I'm moving up in the world. For the longest time, I had like four or five, and then all of a sudden, I did I reviewed a certain book that was not necessarily well known, but they had a big fandom, and the moment I reviewed that book, 10 people all of a sudden subscribed, and I was like, wow, all right. But anyway, enough of that stuff. But podcasting is a funny thing. There's all kinds of storytelling and stuff involved, and you can't help it, you get involved in it, which leads us to dad jokes. The picture of you on your website, storycomic.com, you have you drinking out of a mug that says "King of Dad Jokes" on it.
I know, yeah.
and of course, now you've had one book of dad jokes, which I think you self-published, I think you told me. And now the other one is going to be out on Kickstarter very shortly, if not already. And leads me to all kinds of stuff. How many pages normally do you put in this? And it looks like there's illustrations. I've got questions about these things. I'm always fascinated. Do you draw, because it's not sequential art like a comic book, but it's like you're a cartoonist, so you can draw illustrations that have to do with at least one of the jokes on the page. So
basically what I want to do. So what makes this book because you can go to the store, there's tons of dad joke books everywhere. But what I'm proud about this one, what makes this one particularly unique, is a few reasons. One is, like, if you buy any joke book, chances are you're going to find something that might be a little bit offensive. There might be some bad jokes, dirty jokes, or maybe some jokes that are, you know, some political jokes or misogynistic jokes or something in there that will make you say, wow, that was kind of mean. the book that I compiled together, I want to think this one is, first of all, it is completely safe for a first grader to bring to school. It's completely safe for a grandparents to read it at a church picnic. It's completely safe also for, your blue collar guys going to work at a construction site and reading jokes there that they'll even find funny. So it is a truly all ages, but not in a corny way. And like saying that all the jokes are lame. They're the ones that are lame are not lame as in like, they're just not funny. They're all funny, but they're all going to make you kind of groan a bit at them. And the other aspect of it as well is that this is pretty much a collection of jokes that you're going to find that I scoured the internet, and there's about, I would say about 5% of them are originals that I actually invented myself. And the other ones are not just the ones that you might see floating around, but they're also ones that I love listening to old time radio, like all the old time radio programs like Jack Benny and George Burns and Charlie McCarthy. And some of those jokes are actually like updated versions of things that were witty one liners that actually existed way back in the day. And I'll give you an example. This is actually one that was actually a repurposed Charlie McCarthy joke that I actually posted earlier today. Is I told my wife when I was in my 20s, I was unbelievably handsome. She responded, "You're right. I don't believe it." So like that joke is that's something that if you find that's nothing that's around the internet right now. That's the one I just kind of like resurfaced from a 1940s vaudevillian line. The one here is a furniture store keeps calling me. All I wanted was one nightstand. So these are, and that's one of the other thing too, is that also too, I kind of started this whole book. It's like early 2020 is when there was so much vitriol going on the internet. But we had an election going on. We had COVID going on. It was a lot of stuff. It was very easy to find a fight on the internet. And I mean, it still is easy, but now with just the idea of like, you know, blocking software and stuff like that, it's amazing a bit just how tame my Facebook and, you know, my Facebook feed is now, because I basically, you know, just made it just a lot cleaner in that sense. But before that, it was so hard. I mean, people's emotions were raw. So what I ended up doing, Wayne, is saying, you know what, I'm just going to do my part. And it started off by, as I say, listening to the old time radio programs and hearing something really funny Jack Benny said. And I wrote it down and I tweaked it and sent it out, you know, into the ether on through Facebook and Instagram. And it got a lot of shares and it got a lot of responses to it. So it was, and I realized, I think I'm kind of onto something, because some of those jokes, and it's really cool to see some of the ones that I actually posted months ago that I knew wasn't in major circulation, because there's always some jokes that are always just going to get circled through, and some dad jokes get circled through. And I was really happy to see some of the ones that I actually just brought back from the 40s and posted it and tweaked it a bit to make it a more modern sensibility. And just seeing those pop up again months later on the feed, it makes it so much fun. It just makes it so much fun to see that. And it's so fun to see some of the random ones that I kind of invented. One was, and this was me driving. I was driving through a farm, driving down the road up in here in Vermont. And I saw this one that said, carrots beat peas or something like that. It's like it beats. So it was like the actual vegetable beets. It's like carrots beats peas. And then in my joke I posted, I said, well, those are some, you know, pretty mean carrots. So, and it was, but it was these kind of things that really kind of took off on the dad joke book, that people were able to see that it's a fairly unique take on it. And the other thing too, what I was able to do, Wayne, is that it's fully illustrated, fully colored as well. That's the other thing about this joke book, this dad joke book. It's fully colored, and all the background pictures in there are things of modern stereotypical dad things to do, not classical stereotypical things to dad do, but things that you would think dad to be doing. So there's a picture of in the background of, baseball, you know, like a baseball thing. There's one of with a wood workbench. There's one that's like the toilet in the background. There's one with a chainsaw. There's one with a lawnmower. But I also made it some, you know, modern takes on dads too. So I actually have also, washing machine, karaoke machine, golf clubs, kitchen sink. Because you know what? There's no gender specific, you know, chores around the house. So that was the other thing. I had about 25 reoccurring background images that I designed and drew myself as well. So
cool. Now, of course, I've got to ask a question here, because you're something of an expert now in this subject. What is a dad joke? What makes up a good dad joke?
You know what? You're right. I did some research on that. And you know what? Really what it, so it, the cultural phenomenon of the dad joke basically started in the late 80s, where, and it really came from pop culture in the sense there, you know, early 80s, and then earlier than that from the 70s, 60s, 50s, the role of the dad was, you know, the stern and wise parental figure. It wasn't until you started seeing, even if you think about it too, it was like kind of started a little bit in the 70s, but where the sitcoms were, you still had the father figure, like your Archie Bunkers, and then, or like, you also had, the Brady Bunch and some of these other ones, you actually had the father figures where they could be goofy, but not at their own expense. So it wasn't until you got into like Home Improvement, or when you started seeing places where like even the Full House was starting to have that happen. So it wasn't until the late 80s, early 90s, where you actually started having the father figures as the goofy character. So that the goofy, but the point of it being is like, you still have that stereotypical wisdom where it comes down with a dad joke, where you're able to be goofy, but also have a tinge of intelligence behind it. So that's where you have the play on words, or you actually have the puns. Puns have existed for hundreds of years. So puns are not new, but the fact of is that puns have this sense of witticism and immaturity about it, which gave way to the early 90s, late 80s version of a socially normative father figure at that time. And that's really what kind of started was, you know, you're talking about like the age of like Home Improvement, or when you actually had all the era where you had in the 90s was rife with the beautiful mom with the goofy overweight dad. That seemed to have been like that trope kind of started in that era. And that's where kind of like where that the term dad joke kind of really, it didn't take off at that point, but that's actually where, the inception, if you're looking at it from the point of, the point of where like the tree of like the trunk of the dad joke tree started from there. Because earlier it was always the mother, or, you know, like you think about that the female was, it was always a man was the straight man in the act. And there was, that sanctity of that nuclear family, once that started to kind of fade away in the early 90s is when you're able to really see the role of the father figure to have permission to be fun. So
I got to read one that particularly I like. It says, what do Alexander the Great and Winnie the Pooh have in common? They both have the same middle name.
I like that one too.
That's a good one. I like that. There's another one too I like. And since these are on the website, I don't feel like I'm giving stuff away. It says, what did the number 0 say to the number 8? Nice belt. And of course, you look at the 8. The 8's got a... is different than the 0, so that makes sense. The reason why these things appeal to me so much, I actually lay out a local paper, and it's not a newspaper because there's really no news in it, but it's full of jokes, and it's got the same philosophy kind of that you do. Nothing dirty, nothing obscene, nothing untoward, shall we say, goes in it. And so I spend a lot of my time looking for jokes to put into this paper. It's 16 pages, and it gets put around in all the little local establishments and stuff like that. So I can relate to a lot of these. But you've got some that are actually somewhat modern, and the modern ones are the ones because, you know, a lot of people have always told, you know, people who read these papers, they don't care about computers or anything with like to do with that, which is baloney because if you've ever been to a place where there's a public computer, who's sitting there but an older person is reading his or her email? Right. So I always get a huge kick out of that. There's one in here that says, what do you call a depressed man with a robotic arm? A cyborg, and it's spelled S-I-G-H-borg.
Yeah,
which I enjoy because, you know, otherwise it's C-Y-B-O-R-G. But see, I always am looking for those kinds of ones because a lot of the seniors are not uneducated when it comes to those kinds of things. So I like those more modern. The lady who runs the paper always tells me, that's too modern, too modern. I said, oh, no. I said, you watch, when we print this, people are going to come and say, that's great. I never knew that joke. That was a wonderful joke because it's very modern. And so I think that's great to have not only the older jokes, but the current ones. Is that one yours, the cyborg one? Is that one of your creations?
No, I think there was that. So there was, I have a book from, it was from the 80, it was from 83. It was an old, it was a book that was a kid's joke book for about Star Wars jokes that just, Star Wars, there's so many cool puns you can do with that one. And I believe it was in there that I was able to get that joke. But I think it was R2-D2, I think it was about C-3PO or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I actually tweaked it a bit to make it a little bit different, so...
Very good, very good. It's all kinds of guesses. What do you call a turkey on the day after Thanksgiving? Lucky. I like that one. That's a good one. See, things like that are the kinds of things that I search for my little paper that I put together as well. And sometimes the lady in charge will send me jokes that she wants me to use, and they're always kind of older.
Right. You know,
I don't think they respect the intelligence of seniors and stuff like that, which,
well, you know, and that's, and some of the jokes that I post one every day, so I post them every day, and some of the ones after scouring through the, you know, scouring enough thing, well, I don't know if that one's gonna hit, but then I'll share it and I'll tweak it a bit, and some of the ones I think that I personally don't find very funny will get the most shares. I'm like, really? What's wrong with you people? But you know, it's like the other ones. Well, and the ones that I find hilarious end up never getting shared because I don't know if it's like one I just post, like for instance, it was that I thought wasn't going to get laughs very much was, you know, what does a nosy pepper do? Get jalapeno business. And that one got shared every time. But the one I found personally hilarious that I invented, I was really upset that it didn't get shared a lot when it was a few years ago, was I wrote,
you'll never be as lazy as whoever named the fireplace. I think that's hilarious.
So what inspires you to write those kind of things? Is this the kind of stuff that you, it just naturally comes to you, or in conversation with your kids, or how do these kind of things come?
Oh, some of my kids come up with really good ones. Like there was driving. I remember just driving to school, and I actually because here in Vermont, we actually saw a deer on our way to school. And then I came back, and this is something that also too is like just language differences as well. And some of it is purely based off of talking to a Nigerian, you know, a Nigerian wife. And some of the things are just, some of the things she says are hilarious. And then I actually turn them into like really good jokes. One of them, we saw a deer, we're dropping my kids off to school. And then I came back home and I told my wife, I said, listen, I saw a deer on the way to school. And she literally said, how do you know it was going to school? And I looked at her and I said, that's gold. And like I said, I sent that out too. I sent that up as one of my dad jokes. and some other things like one of the ones with the fireplace, it's like thinking about these lines and having kids, like little kids say the weirdest things, and there's ways to, so there's something like I'm working on a joke now where, and I haven't tried to figure out what it is, but I know there's a joke somewhere in this where my daughter, when she was younger, she would come up with the most obvious terms for things that aren't make sense. Like fog. She called fog ground clouds. And I said, there's so much poetry in that, but there's got to be a joke in there someplace too. So I've been trying to, I keep looking at that on my post-it note saying there was like ground clouds. I'm like, there's a joke there someplace. And I know I got to find it someplace. And so, you know, that, and there's another one that I found that I found hilarious. That was a little bit more cerebral for folks. It was, I wrote this a few days ago. I said, I asked a librarian if she had a book about Pavlov's dog and Schrodinger's cat. She said it rang a bell, but she wasn't sure if it was there or not. So like Wayne, that's, you know, I thought that was funny, you know, mm-hmm. but you know, it's mm-hmm. like, it's funny to see some of that, how, which ones, you know, which ones hit, which ones don't, but
yeah. It's wild. Well, how many pages are going to be in dadder jokes?
So there is, I try to keep them over 130, and I try to, I always make sure there's over 500 in them. So it is, so it's about, yeah, it's going to be a little over 130, around 140, plus with a Kickstarter. So dadder jokes, as you mentioned, is a Kickstarter that, is going to be going live as of August 15th. So please make sure to, you know, check out the coming soons on that. Check out the notifications on that, because there's going to be some pretty deep discount early bird deals on that. So people will be able to get some of these books for a song and a dance if you're able to hit it in the first 48 hours.
So what's the sequel going to be? Is it going to be daddest jokes?
Of course it's going to be daddest. Of course. See, then you're going to have the trifecta. You're going to have the dadder and daddest jokes. So yeah.
Okay. Oh, there's lots of good jokes. So it's going to be really interesting to, oh, do you have any idea roughly? I mean, you got 130 pages, roughly how many jokes do you think are in now? One of these books.
It's always going to be over 500. So it's either going to be, because that way it's just really good to stick that on the cover where it says, you know, over 500 groans and chuckles, and it's going to be on there. So it's going to be over 500. So if it's going to be 501 or 502, but either way, there's going to be over 500 jokes in that.
All right. Let me give you one word of warning. When you're doing a Kickstarter, you're going to be very tempted to go to your Kickstarter page and refresh and refresh and refresh and refresh to see if anybody, and then especially towards the middle of the campaign, if somebody hasn't donated in the last hour or so, you're going to go, oh, nobody ever going to back my thing again. It's over. I'm finished. I'm not going to make my goal. And the truth, I've talked to so many people who said to refresh, 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 and then they can't understand why nothing's changed. But don't do that. Just kind of look at it once in a while, and it'll be enough.
Right.
So usually, also, Kickstarters at the beginning and at the end is usually when most of the activity happens. The middle, it gets quiet, and that's the most dangerous time for a Kickstarter person to do. But you're going to be learning a lot. Expect to have some interesting times as you go along. You're going to figure out some stuff that you had no idea you needed to know before you started it. And it'll turn out very successful, I'm sure. I think this is going to be a great book. I think people are going to really enjoy getting it. Do you know roughly about how much it's going to cost to back one of these? Any ideas?
So I think the book itself, the books retail for about $18 if you buy it on Amazon. And for the Kickstarter, I'm selling the books for $15 each. And So I'm also going to have a catch-up tier for people that want to buy the first book. So you're able to save some good money if you wanted to buy it from there as well. And of course, the PDF version is going to be available, and it's going to be cheaper on that as well. So So my goal is $1,000 because I already did the art. The book's already made, so I don't have to pay an artist. I don't have to pay. So it's pretty easy to, the cost is going to be low. So
great. Well, I'm hopeful that this is the beginning of good things. Maybe you'll come up with a whole nother line of jokes after this and do other books and good things like that. So I wish you much success with this good thing and with your podcast and stuff. It's always good to talk with another podcaster. And again, it's at storycomic.com, and this is going to be called on Kickstarter, look for Dadder Jokes, and you'll find it there. And so, Barney, much success to you. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. I think there's a great big market out there for people who can do good, healthy, clean type jokes. And so I think you've caught on to something pretty smart. So much success with that, Barney.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Wayne, and I'm really happy that I was finally able to come on your show. This has been great.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored. I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's it for this week. Be back next time. We'll have another great interview with another terrific comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.